From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
What's up, sisters and friends? Happy Monday, everybody. Y'all, I am truly so pumped for this podcast. First of all, I got my hubby beside me. We are in our house, so Hello. Things are very chill. And we have two of our great friends here with us at our house. We've had already the best weekend, and now we get to do a podcast together. We have Maddie and Grant Trout in the house.
Let's go.
Let's go, y'all.
I love it.
We've been waiting for this.
We actually really have.
Needing to
this
happen.
Feels right.
It
this
does.
Whole scene feels right.
The
Not
time
only
is
have
now.
We been waiting for this, but I feel like all of you have been waiting.
Did we?
They didn't even know it, but now they know it.
This is what you didn't even know you needed, and now it's here. Oh, and yeah. We're pumped. Truly, it was actually really funny because since y'all came in, we were like, oh yeah, and we'll talk about what we're going to talk about in the podcast. And then we never did.
Not once.
Guys, we have no clue.
This is the realest, most organic, unplanned podcast. And yeah. It's good.
And it's just
how
like,
it should be.
Here's it's the heart. Overflow.
Yeah.
It's the overflow. So it's really cool just how, I guess, our relationship has formed. We were just talking about how God's timing is so cool because when Maddie and I met, well, we met at Passion very briefly. It was before you on the show. And then at that same time, Christian and I had just got married and we moved to Auburn, Alabama.
War Eagle.
Grant's not there yet.
What did you say the other day? He goes, am I officially a War Eagle fan? Is that what you said?
I think. They're Tiger and the Eagle. War Eagle.
He gets
I'm
very
like,
confused
one?
By the two masks.
We had
but anyways, that's a whole
other argument
topic.
About this.
It
because,
doesn't make sense
yeah.
to me.
I know.
Emphasis.
Well, where's the tiger
should
on
I
campus?
Should I say what I said that
I think you have
so
to.
Bad?
I sure.
I said LSU is the most known for the Tigers, for sure.
I think so.
Auburn is not. You think it's an Eagle. If you don't go to Auburn, you're like, oh, it's the Eagles.
Yeah.
And LSU Tigers. And Christian was like, no.
Guys.
No. LSU is not the most known Tiger. Auburn Tigers. Yeah. Are you kidding
me? We are
me?
The Auburn Tigers, but we say War Eagle. War Eagle is just our war cry.
Thank you.
Yeah, I didn't get that, but I will say, and I was pregnant in this moment, so it could have been because I was pregnant, but I am such a War Eagle fan now that when the Eagle was circling the field, I cried.
Same.
I had chills and
that
I cried.
That makes me so
I
happy.
I went to my first game last, when was that?
First football game.
First football game is the Iron Bowl. And
well, and it was
big.
a really sad ending.
This year.
This past really? Year.
Did you watch it?
Yeah.
When they almost won?
Yeah, it was on our anniversary.
Oh,
aww.
Man.
Yeah, I'm still mad about
not
it.
All.
It ruined our anniversary.
It was not.
The muffed
no.
punt.
Oh, good.
So I'm about to like post it. I'm like, we won. Like I'm fired
is,
up.
Okay, there's 2 minutes left in the game and he's about to like talk trash and be like, we won my first Iron Bowl and we come in and we
I thought it was me. I was like,
my first.
He was like, I have the favor of God on my life. And I was like, have you not learned? We can't post it until the game's over. Like, don't you know how Alabama is? Like, they got something up their sleeve at the very end every time. So I'm like, we have to wait and see how it ends. And thankfully he didn't post
Thank
it.
You, Lord.
And then we ended up losing.
They
it was so mm-hmm. sad.
Game over.
It was very sad. That was our anniversary. It was also the first anniversary we've had that I wasn't throwing up because of either pregnancy or actually getting the stomach bug. So I was so excited for this anniversary.
Praise the Lord.
It was going great. And then Auburn was about to win. I was like, this is going to be our best anniversary ever. And then it was like, I was like, did Auburn football not know it was our anniversary and
but
they had
was
to win?
It a good game.
It was a great
it
game.
And that's
was.
All we could ask for.
We were proud.
Game.
We were proud.
Yeah. All that to say, he is now an Auburn fan.
I love that.
And
love
it
that.
Was a good game.
And when the Eagle soared,
yes. It's
I didn't cry,
emotional.
But it was like,
I know.
This is
It was
joy.
Like the sun
this
was
feels right.
This is
pregnant.
Iconic.
This feels right.
Yeah.
It's powerful. It is. So if you're not an Auburn fan, don't get lost. The reason we're talking about this is because I lived in Auburn with Christian when we got married. And Maddie was actually back home in Auburn at the same time. And so we got to know each other there, which was so special. God's timing is so good because she was going through something that I actually could somewhat understand. And so we got to be friends to each other in that. And then I've got to watch you do so many great things with the influence God put on your life, which we just had a great conversation about. And then meet the man of your dreams, Mr. Grant Trout right here. Y'all start a relationship, get married. Y'all are doing ministry together and separately, but together because we're married. We've had great conversations about that as well. And now we're here. And so these people are truly so special to us. And I want y'all to get to know them more. There's so much we can learn from you guys, and we have over the past 24 hours. So let's just start with y'all's relationship, how y'all met, because how y'all met is very, very cute.
Tells it better than
I
do.
No, I'll start.
But sometimes, I'll chime in because he'll leave out some details.
Wasn't looking for a woman.
He's already painting the picture. If you're watching the video version right now,
he's in the valley of Branson, Missouri.
Yes.
And I'm just doing ministry there. And
I'm working for Kanika
Camps Link Year. Not looking for a woman. Content. But it's kind of the first rumblings of like, I could use, I would love to come home to a wife and just partner with a wife. And I'm start praying. I'm just like, Lord, if that's soon, like, I feel like I'm ready. And
I was like single and miserable. I was like, God, don't you love
she's
me?
She's like fasting. She's husband. Like, Lord, I am ready. Like I've been ready. And I come home to Dallas and my friend meets me by a fire pit and we're having this deep talk. And all of a sudden he kind of like stops me and he's like, Grant, I have something serious to tell you. And I was like, and I lean forward. He goes, I've set you up on a blind date and you're going to go. And I was like, what? I was like, I'm not going on a blind date like that. No. And he goes, Grant, who would you be if you didn't go? And kind of this like MJ, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, I'm going. Who would I be? And so I call Maddie out of the blue and I just said, hey, my friend said, you are amazing. I would love to take you out. Do you want to go out?
Well, and rewind. So I had gone on this podcast and the friend that he's referring to was interviewing me on this podcast. And he's like, I want to set you up on a date. Kind of same reaction. I'm like, I don't do blind dates. Like, I want to stalk him. I want to see his profile. I want to see what he's about, and I couldn't. And so I was kind of like, okay, but I'm asking all these questions. I'm like, get me into his personality, like get me into his passions, like what his gift set, like his style, I'm like asking all the questions. And
the
I was like,
matter,
yeah,
right?
yeah. And he's like, no, you're gonna love him. Like he's everything you've like described that you've been praying for and waiting for. And I'm like, okay, like I'm gonna go for it. So anyways,
we both say yes, kind of nervous, and we show up, and it was just this moment where I was like, I've never met, so I told y'all this morning, I've never met someone as passionate and in love with God as this woman. And I could just hear it in her heart as we're talking, our waiter would like, he didn't know how to come in and ask us what we wanted because we were like so just like in it. And truly that night, I feel like we both kind of knew. It was so weird. We weren't looking for each other, but it was like God was like, boom. And we drove around Dallas that night, just listening to music and laughing. And it was really...
You're not going to say what y'all are listening to.
Oh, no.
Well, the Lord has sanctified our hearts since then. It was the clean version of Drake. And so...
It was Drizzy Drake.
But it's
sweet because of what you prayed.
We did. He pulled over on the side of the road and we prayed for Drake.
We did pray for Drake. So Drizzy, if you're watching this,
I hope that Jesus draws near to him and that his soul is saved.
You prayed for a man.
Before that, I prayed.
That y'all also prayed for Drake.
She's
as well.
Like, that's cool.
We did pray for real
but
Drake.
I did
but
pray.
You prayed that's that true. You would find a man. She was just telling us that she would find a man who, like, one, they can have deep conversations and truth and all that stuff, but then they can also have fun and, like, listen to Drake.
Yeah.
And, like, you prayed that. So then Grant's here, like, throwing out all these deep conversations, having all this truth. Wow, God is so good. Then they get in the car and they're like, and he goes, do you want to listen to Drake? And Maddie's like, oh my gosh, you're my husband.
I think a tear like fell down my cheek. And I was like, this is the moment like that I realized that I'm going to marry this man. Sure. Yeah, which I'm not recommending. Don't write down on your list of requirements that he's got to love Drake. No, it was such a sweet, like the best day, night ever. And truly, I called my mom and I was like, I'm going to marry that man. We knew pretty instantly. But
can we talk about the next day though? Is that fair to talk about?
Yeah.
Because I think this is very
we need to talk about the next
and
day.
Related.
Christian, don't do this to me.
Christian, let's go there.
Let's go there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tell them about
So first date goes incredible. And at the time I'd been really struggling with anxiety and it would really just like shut me down completely. And so the first date was so amazing and we weren't going to hang out the next 2 days. I was going to fly back to Branson, but I was like, hey, do you want to hang out tomorrow? And she's like, yeah. And so we go to the Mavs game. At the Mavs game, I start feeling really anxious and I really get in my head and I just shut down. And we went to dinner afterwards and I'm like,
he's not talking.
Yeah.
And he like got up and went to the bathroom like 3 times and would stay in there for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, he's miserable. He doesn't like me. What happened? It was going so perfect yesterday.
Yeah.
So I was very confused.
And I'm like so in my head. And I don't know if anybody struggles with anxiety, but it's like, it can be crippling. And I remember going home that night and just being like, man, it's over. Like she wouldn't want someone like that. And I remember being up at like 2 a.m. talking to my friend. And I was just like, man, she saw something tonight that she probably obviously didn't like. And so in order for me to like protect my own heart, I was like, I'm just going to text her and be like, hey, I don't think this is it. Because I didn't want her to end it with me. So I was like, I'm just going to start it and be like, hey, we had a great night, but I just don't think this is it. And as I woke up the next morning, I was praying. And for some reason, it wasn't time to go home. So I canceled my flight and I texted her and I just said, hey, can I come see you and explain last night? And I walk into your door and I just said, hey, I really struggle with anxiety. And what happened last night is that it hit me and I got really, really anxious and I got insecure and I got in my head and this is me. And I don't want to stay here, but this is what I'm going through right now.
And I had never seen anything like that before. I was like, this dude just really put his heart out there and he's known me for one day. I was like, he's really going there and he's being so honest. And to me, it just painted such a new picture of what godly strength looked like, of just like, hey, I don't have it all together. I'm confessing to you that this is something that I struggle with. I'm not standing in agreement with it, but this is like something I'm battling with right now. And to me, I was like, whoa, I've never seen a dude do that before. Like I had only ever seen a guy be like, no, I'm cool. Like this is on you. You feel that way. This isn't my struggle. Like you're interpreting it this way. And I was like, here's this guy who's just being so honest and vulnerable about what he's facing and what he's struggling with and going through. And it just honestly made me respect him so much more. And then I was excited to really be like, let's talk through this. Like, get me into more of what that looks like. And so I think that really just, I don't know, set us up from the very beginning to really like it laid down the foundation of like, hey, we're going to be real and honest with each other.
Like the freedom that led to, I was telling Christian today, it led to so much freedom because I now didn't have to mask when I was around. I didn't have to be great around her. I was my weakest around her and I told her and she was like, okay, we can work with that. And I think there's a lot of fear, especially in guys where it's like, I can't show any of that. And to show her that on the second date freed me up to just be like, this is Grant. I'm broken and I'm fragile and there's weak parts of me that the Lord is redeeming and working on. And that really set us up for like success of just like, I don't have to always be so on around you.
Totally.
Y'all, the stage we're in with parenting is so much fun. Honey is just growing up day by day with all the ways that she's talking, and Haven is growing day by day and how much she is literally growing. Like the amount of clothes we have to keep up with that girl because she's just growing so tall is crazy. And I'm super excited to tell y'all about a new partner, Kaden Lamb, because they are keeping her looking so cute and actually having clothes that fit her. It all started for Kaden Lamb in 2005 by a single mom who wanted to create better and cuter clothes, accessories, and keepsakes for their own kids, and I definitely feel that. It can be hard to keep up with all of it sometimes. Kaden Lamb is on a mission to make moms' lives easier, and it shows. They offer products like Color Me pajamas that help make bedtime more fun for everyone, plus little hidden zips and snaps, and all of their outfits that make it so much easier to get everyone dressed, and that struggle is real. As y'all know, Haven is a little wiggle worm, so it can be hard to get her dressed. And sometimes, you know, I see these viral brands and wonder if they're worth all the hype. Well, Kaden Lamb definitely is. They go over 70,000 five-star reviews and millions of customers. So there's a ton of people out there who already know and love Kaden Lamb. And actually, before their podcast sponsor, before I even had Honey, I was looking online to find like a cute thing for her to wear home from the hospital. And I found Kaden Lamb, and that's where I got like her blanket that had her name on it, a little cute outfit, bows, all kinds of stuff. So I've actually been a follower of theirs for a long time before they were a part of this podcast. With the cold weather here lately, summer is definitely on my mind. I can't wait to get to summer, and Caden Lane's new swim collection is here, the Worry-Free Fun in the Sun. Actually, Honey had these swimsuits last year, and now we have new ones for this year and for Haven too. Their UPF 50 plus sun protection swimwear blocks 98% of the sun's harmful rays to keep their skin safe and minimize the sunscreen fights that we all know are coming. Caden Lane also has premium quality matching swimsuits for the whole family that your family is going to love and look so cute in. Like I mentioned, we had these last year, got them again this year for Honey and Haven to have matching ones, and it's so great because one, they're so cute, and two, I don't have to worry about the whole sunscreen hassle all over Honey's arms and everything, which is great because, you know, if you have a two-year-old, that is a struggle. Caden Lane is your one-stop shop for all your newborn, infant, and toddler apparel. Head to cadenlane.com/woe and use my code woe for 20% off your order. Once again, that's Caden Lane, CadenLane.com/woe, WHOA, for 20% off. And make sure you use my promo code woe so that they know I sent you there.
Wow. I think it's, when you told that story today at breakfast, I was like, wow. But even telling it again, it like makes me teary because one, I know how hard the battle of anxiety is, and you feel so crazy for the feelings that you have. And it's so hard to admit whenever it's anxiety because you feel like, especially as a Christian, you're like, I should be able to overcome this. Like I should be able to like be stronger than this. But the reality is like, it is a stronghold. It's hard to overcome. It's very real, and you can't always predict when it's going to happen, when it's going to come, when you're going to get those anxiety attacks. And the fact that you were able to be honest, but I love how you share that there was a point where you were like, I'm just going to end it, because then it can be on my terms and then I can just say it's over. And I would have led that, and like, you're protecting your heart from any of that you know getting broken up with or your pride or whatever. But then you're like, nope, actually I'm going to go and I'm going to be honest. And that's something that like not a lot of people are able to do. They're just like, okay, I'm going to send a text and do the easy thing. But the easy thing would have ended y'all's relationship there.
We wouldn't
and
be
doing
here.
The hard thing got crazy. Y'all here.
Yeah. Totally.
Which is amazing.
That story sounds familiar.
Yeah. We have a similar story.
Unpack it, 'cause we didn't get to it this morning.
So yeah, day one was really great. Well, actually, no.
I'm talking about the you can tell that story. I was talking about the time when you called me.
Well, I was going to break up with you.
Yeah, bro. She was going to dump me, bro.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
On the phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like,
we were long
person.
Distance. It wasn't.
But here's the sad thing. I didn't know.
He didn't know.
Any idea.
So he actually didn't know for like months later. I was like telling the story.
She was like, I was going to break up with
you.
You
were breaking up with me
then?
And I was like,
no.
Well, obviously I pivoted, but that wasn't what I was saying though.
Is that Cabo
back
there?
Yes, that's Cabo.
literally a cat. I'm like, you were up on the ceiling, like, Cabo, how did you?
You got something to say. Yeah, so Cabo is a crazy story. Every scene, Cabo like, is a cat. Ever. Like,
Cabo,
it's
get
so
down.
Weird.
Hey, get down.
Okay, Cabo.
Jumps everywhere.
I'm hey, not a cat say, person, but Cabo is the closest I'll get to a cat because she's just like down. A cat. All right. Okay, so here's what happened, and we actually haven't really shared, I don't know if we've ever shared this part about our first date story, because we're always like, it went so great, and it did.
The first day was awesome. To me, the second day was just as great as the first. But apparently
not.
At some point.
Apparently. I'll tell you what happened then. This is what happened. We were having a great time. Everything was great. As Maddie said earlier, first day, fire. It was perfect. I'm like, this
electric.
Is great. Yes. Like everything was just going great.
I thought second day was fire.
And then this is what happened. No, it was still the first day because we spent the whole day together. We went like shopping together. We walked around Nashville together. We just had like fun. And then that night we had dinner plans, and this was like leading up to our big like dinner date. It was our first dinner date. And this was like so wrong of them, but my sister and his brother decided to crash our date, which was our first date. Okay. So we had a great day. Everything was great. Chemistry is there. And then we show up to the restaurant in Nashville for our date. And then Chance and Bella show up too.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. And
Hold on. So
okay. And the first thing what Chance said to me was pretty funny.
Well, I was just going to build. So my brother was playing baseball in Nashville. And your sister was there because your whole family was there for the concert we were going to get to. So they happened just to be near us, and they were like, hey, we want to come to dinner. And I, of course, don't want them to come because I'm like, it's our first date.
Yeah.
But I was like, maybe that would be offensive if I told them to say, no, don't come. So I was trying to be inclusive of like, hey, like, I don't want you to think I'm being rude for like not, but she did not want them to come at all.
But I didn't, like, we didn't know each other like that. I couldn't
but
be like,
I was
no,
trying to be,
because yeah. I also hadn't met his brother, and then he thought it would be sweet
to show me that he wanted my sister to be there. But I was like, no, I don't want my sister to be here.
Some miscommunication right here.
So Christian's like, I guess, tells him to come. So we had this great day. And Christian had bought me this like orange bandana when we were shopping. And I tied it around my jeans. I thought it was cute.
Love it.
And then Chance, first thing he says, he's like, hey, I'm Chance. He's like, what is that, fashion? That's the first thing he says to me, which I love Chance. He is one of, like, Chance and I are two of our closest friends. But he hit me with, like, what is that, fashion? And I was like, your brother bought it for me, actually. Thank you. Yes, it is. Period. So it's already kind of like a sassy start. And it's, like, not perfect, but it's fine. So then we go and we have dinner. And it just went so south. Christian and Chance, like, argued the whole time about everything. Like,
well, so at this point my life had been changed, and Chance was like, Chance was coming there. He was like, he was a freshman, he was still figuring a bunch of things out, and our waitress or waiter, whatever, brought us like a drink, and I didn't order a drink.
Brad is a margarita, but we didn't order
We didn't order it, but he couldn't take it back. So then Chance was like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Chance is 18. And I'm like, I was like, no, you're not taking this. And he's like, what? Why not? Why can't I take it? And this is on our first date.
Yeah, and then Christian's like, because you're not. And then he was like, dude, why are you acting like this? So then I was like, is he not being real? Or like, I was like, are you trying to do this for me? And like, it was so weird. So like, me and Bella probably said a total of 10 words the whole dinner. We just watched Christian and Chance like have all these brother dynamics. They watched sports, so TV was on. I was it was so bad. Well, and
the
so,
second day.
No, it wasn't even sports. It was like a four-wheeler like race thing happening. And so I'm sitting here like, this went south. And so then I'm just hanging out with, and Christian's like hanging out with his brother. And I'm like,
thinking it's great.
I don't even know y'all.
It was great.
And so anyways, yeah, and this is our first date. Like, we don't even talk. He talks to Chance. So anyways, I get back to my apartment. My mom's there. My grandma's there. They were in town that weekend. All my friends are there. Like, how'd it go? I'm like, well, like, all day was so fun, and then dinner was terrible. Like, they fought the whole time. They brought this margarita. They had an argument about it. We watched like four-wheeling races. Like, it was just so bad. And so then I was like, I just don't know anymore. Like, I'm genuinely like, confused. And so then the next day, I was kind of like, not, I don't know. I was like, okay, I'm just gonna show up again. We had breakfast together.
Second day we did Topgolf.
We did pottery, remember? And then but this is when things changed.
We did Topgolf the first day, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Everything was going great the first day. Then the second day, we had breakfast and we're walking past a pottery place. And I'm like, you just want to go do this pottery? We can sit and talk. And I really don't know what I'm feeling at this point. I'm just like, okay, I'm just going to like do this. And so I was like painting.
Just do some pottery. I claimed you
as my wife 10 years ago.
And I'm like, yeah, for those who don't know, Christian.
We were having different inner dialogues.
Yes.
That's so amazing.
I was like, this is her.
Anyways, then he starts talking to me. And I think this was whenever I realized, like, okay, this is who you are. Like, you start sharing about your family and your love for your family. And we talk more about our faith and just life, what we want to do, our passions. Like, we just, because we were painting, you know, so we just had, like, uninterrupted time to talk. And then I think you were like, hey, do you want to go, I don't even know, like, how, when we went and read our Bible at the horse place. And I don't know how, because that doesn't seem like a natural organic thing to do, but it was. We just did. Which then I was like, okay, this is like who he is. This is what he loves. And I think I really was worried the night before, like, are you faking it for me? Or are you really this person? Because of that dynamic, I wasn't sure if Chance was asking you, why are you acting like this? Because you're not normally like this. And I had experienced that where people will try to be a certain way around me because they think that's what I want and expect. But if that's not who you are, then that's okay. But this is not going to work. But I realized the next day, like, this is who you are. And that had been who you've always shown me to be. 2 months of phone call conversations, of pursuing me, of everything leading up to that point, show me that this was who you were, but it just made me question and doubt. But it was just really sweet because that day was awesome. And then I remember the next night back on the couch, which we called the pit at the time. We were on the pit and it's like, oh, my friends, and my mom. I'm like, today was awesome. I think I'm in love with it. Like, it went from like, I don't think this is going to work out to like, I think I'm going to be in love with this guy. Like, it went so great. So it did turn dramatically. But then I got in my head because I struggle with anxiety. And I was about to go on a tour and I was thinking like, this is not going to work. Like, how is this going to work logistically? Like, I got way over my head. And then I was like, I'm not even going to be a good girlfriend because I'm not going to when am I going to be able to like meet his friends? When am I going to go to Auburn? I don't like think this is fair to him to date me. Like, and then I like totally just started throwing myself like in the dumps and was like, I'm not even going to be a good girlfriend. I'm too busy. I don't want to make him feel like dot, dot, dot or whatever. And so that's when I went to break up with him, not because of him, but because I didn't want him to have to date me, which isn't that a sad way of looking at it?
Yeah. Which I didn't know that in the moment. Nor 6 months post that.
He's like, actually, I found out last week.
You didn't need to know that.
He didn't even know.
That was an inner dialogue.
That was
right
just,
there.
Yeah, obviously it didn't work out. Yeah. Yo, let's be real. Whenever we were younger, you know, we're playing all these sports and all this stuff. We're always worried about hydration. We got to stay hydrated. But to be honest, I'm not playing those sports anymore, but life just wears you out. It takes a lot to be hydrated even now, just with all the things that we have going on, being a mom, hosting a podcast, doing my job, speaking. Like, I got to stay hydrated. It's so important. Whenever I'm not hydrated, I feel not so good. And when I'm hydrated, I feel so much better. And I have found that drinking Element every day is the easiest way for me to stay hydrated. Element is a tasty, zero-sugar drink mix with everything you need and nothing you don't. Every pack of Element gives you a meaningful dose of electrolytes without any sugar, artificial colors, and any shady ingredients found in other electrolyte drinks. It's formulated to help anyone with their hydration needs and even works for people who are following a keto, low carb, or paleo diet. When we sweat, our bodies lose a ton of sodium, and when it's not replaced, it can have some pretty rough consequences, like I mentioned. My legs cramp super bad, I get headaches, that's just the reality of it. But Element can help prevent all of those things like headaches, muscle cramps, fatigue, sleeplessness, and other symptoms of electrolyte deficiency. And I've truly noticed a difference personally as I started drinking Element. I used to get bad leg cramps, and since I started drinking Element, I don't have those as much, and also don't have headaches, don't feel as fatigued at the end of the day. Honestly, it helps me so much, so I stick to drinking this just about every day. Element is used by everyone from podcast hosts to professional Olympic athletes, U.S. Special Forces teams, and just everyday people trying to live their best life. Element has new chocolate medley flavors, like chocolate mint, chocolate chai, chocolate raspberry. I have the chocolate caramel right here. And these are flavors that are actually designed to be enjoyed hot. You can even add them to your favorite winter recipes. So maybe, you know, you're not out on long runs right now because it's cold outside. You don't want to cold drink of Element, but a hot one is great too, and you can do that like hot chocolate and just add your Element to it, and that would be great. Right now, Element is offering a free sample pack with any purchase. That's 8 single serving packets free with any Element order. This is a great way to try all 8 flavors. Christian and I did this to discover our favorites. I like the raspberry and the watermelon. He likes the citrus and the orange, so it was a great way to try everything. So get yours at drinkelement.com/woe. This deal is only available through my link, so you got to go to drinkelement, drinkelement.com/woe. Element offers no question asked refunds, so try it totally risk-free. If you don't like it, share it with a salty friend, and they'll give you your money back. No questions asked. You have nothing to lose, friends. Go try it.
And I think that's going to be so encouraging for people that start to feel anxious, and you're like, you're gripping for control at that point. And I feel like a lot of relationships probably, I'm just now thinking about it, have ended because of that. And you put it on someone else, but it was like you were struggling with anxiety. Mm-hmm. So you're like, control. And look at what's on the other side of that. Like, that's so beautiful.
True. And actually, we were telling y'all last night about me going to Dr. Amen, which Dr. Amen's been on the podcast a couple of times, but he really helped me through my anxiety. Mm. And we did that 2 months into our marriage because I was like, I know I have to get my anxiety under control for our relationship, because anxiety, you think it's just an individual battle, and it is something that you're going through internally, but it affects everyone around you, and it 100%. Really affects your relationships. 100%. And so don't let it be just an individual internal struggle. Like, share it with the people around you. Like, you share with Maddie, like, hey, I struggle with this, and this is what it looks like, and this is how it plays itself out. Mm. And I have to tell Christian, okay, this is what this looks like. This is how it plays itself. This is how you could help me. This is how you can be there for me in it. Yeah. And then he went with me to Dr. Amen and like learned all the things that I needed help with and how my brain thinks, so that he could truly be like a partner to me in that struggle. And it's just so cool, because I was telling y'all this last night, you know, 4 years in, and that is not a defining part of my life. Like, anxiety does not define my life at all. It doesn't define our relationship. It is not something that causes us to struggle. That doesn't mean it doesn't come up every now and then, but we have just gotten in such a better place with it, but you have to go through the work. Like you mm-hmm. have to be intentional about it. You got to share it with friends. You got to get the help that you need because it is a real deal. It's a real deal.
It is.
Yeah. And we had to have a hard conversation early on.
Really hard.
And I will say that wasn't part of my story. And I personally had not seen someone struggle with it up close mm-hmm. and personal, yeah. someone that I really cared about. And with him, like early on, I felt like he was my husband. And so it was hurting me seeing him hurt and that it would take him out. Like when he was feeling anxious, like he would completely shut down and it would affect the rest of the day. It would take him out. And it was just like, it was hurting. Like you said, it impacts more than just that person. It was impacting our relationship. And I finally looked at him and I was just like, there is such a calling on your life. And I don't want to see you just stand in agreement with anxiety. And so I, as much as I'm not just saying it's going to go away, like at the snap of a finger, we're going to have to put in work. Let's at least like tackle it spiritually and like be in prayer and not just like give the enemy a foothold in this area of your life. Because I had seen him take, you know, I think just that mindset of like, I'm a victim.
Well, this is who I am. This is what it is.
Yeah.
This is just
and
it.
I just was like, you're stronger than you think you are because of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And I really challenged him in that. And I think that was so helpful. But also I think as I learned more and more, like you said, just being able to have the conversations about it, I was able to learn like, okay, this is how I can continue to challenge you in it, but also just like be there and listen yep. and encourage and love. And sometimes that meant just like, literally being present.
Yeah. Totally. That's such a good point. I think in our generation, something that is a problem is that we have become so comfortable as a culture, like identifying with our problems, and anxiety is one of those things that it's just totally okay to be like, oh yeah, I have anxiety. And then it's like becomes something that's a part of you.
Yeah.
And for me, I used to think it was like my personality. Like that's my personality. Yeah. I'm just an anxious person. Mm. But then I was like, no, that actually is not who God created me to be. And if that is my identity and I claim that as my identity, that I have anxiety, I am anxiety, I'm always going to be anxious, I'm always going to, and that I can, that can drive the ship of my life, then I would not be doing what I'm doing. Yeah. I would not ever be speaking on stages. I would not be doing a podcast because I would hate to hold a microphone. Mm-hmm. I would have shied away from definitely being in the public eye because anxiety says run from that, especially speaking.
Yeah.
That's one of the main ways God uses me. So you cannot like identifying with your weakness as far as like letting that become who you are mm-hmm. is such a big problem because it keeps you from all that God has for you. And I love how like, you know, what does Paul say it? Like, I boast in my weakness because it's like through my weakness that the Holy Spirit actually uses to become my strength. And so it's not saying like, it's okay to say I struggle with it. Yeah. It's okay to say that that is a part of my struggle, but that's not who you are.
Yeah.
And that doesn't define what you do because if it is who you are, it starts to define what you do.
Yeah.
But if it's not who you are and it's just a weakness of yours, then you allow God to work in that and allow it to become a strength in another
way. I think there's so much power in confession, like bringing things into the light. Like it talks about when we confess, our God is faithful and just, and he will purify us from all unrighteousness. So I truly believe that confession and bringing into the light and letting people, James 5:16 says, when we confess and have people pray for us, that's where we find healing. And so I have seen him be so like lead with so much vulnerability and bring it into the light and how that has brought healing. Like he has grown so much since the time we met because of like continuing to bring it into the light and not just letting it like fester in secrecy and in isolation, which is where Satan can get to us the most when we're like, oh, I just got to battle this by myself. Because if I tell someone this, or if I really tell them, you know, what I'm facing or feeling, like they won't think of me the same. And he's been so good with that. But I think it is really powerful to really note the difference between confession and identifying with it. Letting it become your identity is totally different because I mean, it says in scripture, like God does not give us a spirit of fear. And so coming in agreement with that spirit of fear is coming against like God's word and God's design of how he's created us.
And last thing I'll add, I feel like this is anxiety. Like,
I know we didn't really plan on for this.
Your words have such power.
Yeah.
Proverbs 18:21. Like you talked about that with your daughter last night, like death and life are in the power of the tongue. I have anxiety. I struggle with anxiety. I don't think we realize that when we speak, like there's so much power in that. And you're claiming things that the Lord is like, hold on, hold on. You are walking through it. you're encountering it, but the I am is very powerful.
Yeah.
And the world has taken these manifestations of I am rich, I am healed. But when you incorporate scripture to it, I am more than a conqueror. I am set free. Even in weakness, his power is made perfect. And you read scripture, that's your identity in Christ. And so you're gonna, I don't think there's ever this arrival of like, no more anxiety.
Yeah.
But it's like, when I encounter it now, word of God.
Yep.
Words have power.
Yeah. Like I've seen him, like anxiety come on him and he's just like, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Like he'll just start speaking the name of Jesus and then we'll just, he'll be like, hey, will you pray really quick? And like, we'll just pray together. Yeah. And I've seen how that's just totally changed versus in the past, like I was saying at the beginning when it would happen and it was just like a shutdown and it was just letting that anxiety become like your master. It was, you were just like letting it rule your life. Whereas now you've learned to master it and submit it to your spirit and say like, anxiety, I feel you, I see you, but I will not let you rule me.
Yeah.
And because of Jesus and the Holy Spirit that lives inside of me, and I've just seen you like overcome that, and it's been so cool to witness.
That's so cool. That's amazing. That's so good. Gosh, this is gonna help so many people because that's so real. And I feel like there's so many places we could go from here, but just what he mentioned about talking to Honey about that last night, we were talking about just learning from a young age that your words do matter and that they have power. Mm-hmm. Speaking that over yourself, what you say over yourself, it impacts the way that you're going to live. It impacts the way that you're going to see yourself and see people around you. And Honey has gotten into this phase where it's just funny, but it's not funny because I'm trying to teach her it matters. So she'll be like, I want this. And then you give it to her. I don't want this. And then you're like, I want this. And it becomes this thing. And it's like just dramatic and it's a tantrum. And I looked at her last night. I said, Honey, look at me. I said, your words have power and the words you choose to say matter. And they dictate what's going to happen next. I said, so let your yes be your yes and your no be your no. If you say yes, you're getting it. If you say no, I'm taking it away. I'm not going to do this again. And like, you have to have those serious conversations. And I think sometimes people, when you grow up, you don't always have a mom to look you in the eyes or a friend to say, hey, that's not who you are.
Yeah.
Your words hold power. And so let this serve as a moment for you guys who are listening, who struggle with the anxiety. Your words hold power. Your words literally carry the power of life and death. So speak to your heart. Speak to that anxiety. I love how you said, anxiety, I acknowledge you. I feel you, but you're not going to rule me. And I love how last night we talked about it in such a way too, that anxiety, I don't think it's always a bad thing. I think a lot of times what it does when I feel that anxiety, like before I speak, people say, do you get nervous? Yes, I get nervous. Of course I get nervous. Yeah. I hope I always get nervous because that's not a small thing to carry the weight of, you know, preaching a message to a generation about the love of God. And even if I'm not speaking on something so deep and I'm just talking in front of like friends, you know, 20 people in a house and I still get nervous just because anxiety is like that. What sometimes anxiety does though, in a good sense, is it makes you dependent on God. Yeah. You know, it makes me go, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you, Lord. And so that's why I say, I don't want to not feel nervous because I want to feel dependent on the Lord. So I don't want to live in anxiety. I don't want to say like, yeah, I'm going to be crippled by it, but I'm okay to feel it because it reminds me I'm human and I need God and I'm always going to be dependent on him.
Totally.
Y'all, I think we all know that sleep is really important. It is definitely something that when we get it, it makes a huge difference. And when we don't get it, we know. And that is hard when we have a toddler and a 7-month-old baby. But if there's anything that we have seen help our sleep, it is that we have comfy sheets. Miracle Made sheets are the best thing ever. They give you the best night's sleep every single night. They're made using silver-infused fabrics inspired by NASA, which help regulate your temperature all night long and keep you at the perfect temp for a great sleep. Waking up too hot or too cold is a thing of the past. The silver infused in Miracle Sheets also prevent up to 99.7% of bacteria growth, so they stay cleaner and fresher up to 3 times longer than any other sheets. Plus, all that bacteria on your sheets can clog your pores, causing breakouts and acne, and anything that helps get rid of that is great, but also helps me not do as much laundry is awesome too, so this is just a win-win all around. Not only are Miracle Sheets super helpful for laundry and clearer skin, but they are also soft and and comfy, just like luxury sheets without the high price tag. Christian and I both love our Miracle Made sheets. We actually changed our sheets to our guest bed at one point, and we were like, nope, those are our best sheets. We're bringing them back. Actually, no, we're just ordering more because every bed in our house needs to have these on it. It's so great. So go to trymiracle.com/whoa, see what the hype's all about. Try Miracle sheets today. And whether you're buying them for yourself or as a gift to a loved one, if you order today, you can save over 40% off. And if you use our promo code WHOA at checkout, you're also going to get 3 free towels and save an extra 20% off. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/whoa and use the code WHOA to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/whoa to treat yourself today.
And I think we see, like, even in scripture, the way Jesus responds when the enemy came and tempted him in the wilderness, you know, with the different lies and the deceptions. And so whether it's anxiety or something else, like, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And we see the way that Jesus responded was with the truth, was with the power of God's word. And so it's like, whatever that lie or that struggle is for you, if it's anxiety, if it's body shame, if it's whatever it is, it's like, when that lie comes, like, taking God's word and, like, he's said, like, biblical affirmations, like, don't just take the worldly, you know, making yourself a God in a way of like, I am powerful. I am. It's like, no, actually I'm weak, but he's strong.
Yeah.
Actually, no, like, amen. I am dead inside, but because of the cross of Jesus Christ, he has made me alive in Christ.
Yeah.
And so it's continuing to speak, not just like power over yourself, but power with what God has given you that we don't deserve. But speaking that biblical affirmation, I think has been so helpful for me when I have moments of insecurity or fear or shame or guilt or whatever it is that I'm carrying or dealing with, is truly prayer, but biblical truth and affirmation. That's the only way we're going to be able to overcome the lies of the enemy.
And there are moments where you may not be strong enough in that moment to, like, to go to the Bible and go, this is true.
Yeah.
And that's where community comes
in. That's totally so true.
And dude, the amount of times I've just texted people and gone, who am I?
Yeah.
Trusted biblical community that goes, you are this in Christ. You are this. You are called. You are chosen. Because there are moments, y'all know, where you're like, I can't even open up my Bible right now.
Yeah.
Like, you will be that weak. And what we saw last night, and y'all, we talked about today, y'all have such a beautiful community here. Mm-hmm. And that is so important for people, is you don't do this alone. Even with a spouse, like, that's not always your community.
Yeah, totally.
You need girls, she needs girls, and we need guys that will speak into, I'm feeling this, I'm believing this.
Yeah.
And they'll go, no, that's not who you are.
Yep. That's true.
That's community right there.
That's so true. Maddie and I were talking about that in the car a minute ago. We were having, like, such a real, like, realest of the real conversation.
Like, borderline tears.
Yeah, I know.
Our husbands are calling us, like, are y'all good? They're getting barbecue. Like,
they're like crying on the phone. I'm
talking,
like,
about, like, whatever, working out. And we're like bawling our eyes.
But it makes me think of what you just said with community and confession. Community and confession. It is so important. I mean, the Bible talks about it so much. And I don't even think until recently, until recently, I did not understand the true power of that. I think I would have said I'm a person that confesses, but I didn't, you know, like, we've talked about this recently, Matt Chandler's quote about, like, if you're 99% known, but there's 1% of that's not known, then you're not known.
Wow,
then
that's good.
Then you're, because that 1% is still making you feel shame and unknown. And I think there is always that 1% that I was just like, but that I will not tell anyone, you know? And this year I've really been like, okay, what does it look like to confess, like, to God, but to people around me? And man, the freedom that has come from it. And I love when you confess your anxiety to her, and you said it was a new kind of confidence that I'd never seen before. It's that confidence in the Lord, not saying, like, I am strong and I have it all together, but I am weak, but he is strong in me, and this is how I'm working it out. That is strength, you know, that is strength in the Lord. And I was telling Maddie, like, just the reality of our human insecurity when it comes to, like, who am I? And I was just sharing, and I'll just share with y'all, because this is a side of me that you don't see, and probably a side of most people they don't admit. But just how comments and feedback from people can really get to your head, good and bad. And Maddie and I were talking about the good, you can lean towards pride, and the bad, you can lean towards insecurity. And so you really don't need that much feedback from so many people that don't know you. But the way social media is, you're just going to get it. And so I came off this high of passion conference, and
there's so much feedback and there's so many things coming at me that are good. And so I'm like, okay, this is going good, you know? And then someone like announces that I'm going to speak at their conference or something. And it wasn't met with like that much excitement or whatever, but someone made a rude comment about like cringe, like this girl's coming. And I told Christian, I was like, I know it's so dumb, but like literally it actually made me really sad because someone was like cringe and I felt like, oh, am I cringy now? Am I irrelevant? Did this like...
And that person is like, she'll never see
I
that.
I know, doesn't think you know I would care. Yeah.
Never care.
And then I'm
well,
like...
Well, this was like a 2-day...
Yeah, and I told Christian...
Like 3-day span.
I'm like, this is so crazy because I come off of this high of preaching this message that got such a good response.
Right.
And then this next conference is like a couple of days to come or it was posted in a couple of days and the response... And what I was met with made me feel like I'm totally irrelevant. And on college 100%. Campuses, am I cringy now? Am I irrelevant? And I'm like, that is so crazy that our human nature, we're just so like broken and weak that just made me feel so insecure. And I'm like, I know that's not who I am, but it immediately made me feel that way.
Yeah.
And so it was so important though that I share that with Christian so that I don't sit here and wallow in like the cringe comment and like, I'm irrelevant and now they don't care. And then that, cause I told Maddie what that was doing is I was already preparing my message for that conference and it was a very serious message. And then I was like, oh, well, if they think I'm cringe, is this cringy? And this is so serious.
Change
then I'm not,
it.
I'm going to be even more relevant.
You're
then you want to like,
yeah.
you're catering you to want, people.
And then
not
I'm
God.
Like, and so that's why I told Maddie, I said, then I stopped myself. I'm like, I do not do things for the applause of man. Amen. I do things to be obedient to the Lord.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to respond to them. I don't need to do it for them to be excited for me to show up. I'm doing it because the Lord opened this door and told me to preach this message and I'm obeying him. And we're just talking about like having to speak that truth to yourself because if it is so hard to not live for the approval of man, even if like you tell yourself and you like, you have to get before the Lord daily and like, humble yourself before him to stay in a place of just in a posture of this is all for you and all for your glory. And I told Maddie all day long, I could tell you that truth all day long. I would say 100% I'm doing it for the Lord, 100% pure heart in it, 100%, but also I'm human and a cringe comment hurts,
yeah,
you know, and it's, you know, you think it's nothing when you comment it, but to no matter who it is and no matter how big you think that they are and how it wouldn't affect them, I think it affects everyone.
It does. It does.
Yeah, man.
Christian and I have been talking about that, like just hurtful comments. And it's like, it's so interesting because,
like when we went live on social media, that was like something that was really hard for you. And that was something I had already been battling with for over a year and honestly had to go to like therapy for and got off social media for a while. It like really affected me, just the opinions of so many people. And I mean, I ended up like losing like 20 pounds and just like was having a hard time sleeping at night and just the weight of the opinions of people and like how it was really affecting me. And so I had encouraged him. I'm like, hey, when we do post and announce like our relationship on social media, don't read any comments. And he didn't listen. And so he read
so
comments.
Hard. It's so
it
hard.
Is super hard.
He read
I'm like,
comments.
What they saying, man? What we
and,
got?
so you hard. Know, like there were a lot that weren't
I'm
very
like
kind.
In tears that literally that night.
And I'm the, like, the word, I told like, you.
Man, I was telling you last night. It was like, Grant, you look like a bleepity bleep thumb. And I'm like, huh? Like, you know, I could see it. But like.
Yeah, he's like. Okay.
But it's mean, man.
It's mean.
It's mean.
It's really mean.
And it's like, but you, why did I start doing this? Because God called me. And like, I'm going to keep doing it because God called me. And like, we constantly wrestle how to handle social media and calling, as y'all do too. You're like, what would Jesus do in 2024?
Yes.
Paul, I feel like Paul would have it.
Yeah.
But he would do it well.
Yeah.
And it's like, is it fast often from it? Is it have
boundaries,
others
yeah.
boundaries? It's like, how do you, that's a whole nother podcast, but
that's
like,
so true.
How do you do that well?
Yeah.
Because Peter and Paul are like, we got to go.
Yeah.
They got to hear.
We got to share the gospel.
And that's what we were talking about that. That was in my passion message at the end. I said, can you imagine what Paul would say? He was walking by foot to all these places, going boat ride, snake bit and shipwreck, prison, all these things. Just for the sake of getting the word out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, he would use
he
social
would
media. Because
yeah.
if you could, by the click of a button, post to that
totally.
Many people to
right,
get the good
right.
news of the gospel out, I absolutely believe they would be using it. But so criticism is going to come. That's a part of it. Just like they faced a lot worse. I mean, they faced
for
like
sure.
imprisonment and stones.
It's not
and we're facing like, you know,
getting canceled,
unfollowed.
Which yeah. also I will say though, because it's easy to be like, it's just criticism, it's just canceling, it's just yes, it's not being stoned, but it that is hard. You know, it is emotionally hard for people to go through, and so not being unempathetic to that. But at the same time, if that's what the Lord's asked us to do, and that's the day that we're in, and it's going to come with that, then I think you say you. No, I don't think you say yes to that. You yeah, know, and yeah. you endure that. You pick up your cross and yeah.
you go.
And I think you know, I had a friend recently who she's just kind of starting into like full on ministry and doing incredible things. And she called me crying the other night and she said, I just got my first form of criticism. She said, I never faced criticism before. And she said, have you ever dealt with this? And Christian was on the phone and he said, every day of her life. Yeah. He's like, But I'm like, but I mean, I had tears with her because it was like, that's so hard. Yeah. Like, I am it not going to lie yeah. to you and say like, it gets easier. There are aspects of it that do because you know who you are, you know, and totally. You have people around you who know who you are and you do care less. And there are seasons that I really don't care. And there are seasons I'm doing great and yeah. my head's in the right place. My heart's in the right place. But then I was telling Maddie, it was coming off of a high. I'm tired. We have two kids who don't sleep at night. I'm already tired. I'm about to travel again. And then I met with this like mean comment. And in my weakness, I go, I'm irrelevant. You know, yeah. so you got to, even if you think you overcome it, just like anxiety, doesn't mean it's going to go away.
Yeah.
All have fallen short of the glory of God.
Amen. Yeah.
And
Amen.
We'll continue
yeah.
to.
Yeah.
But it's just important to not cave to that. But continue to confess, continue to keep your community around you and be real and tell those people that 1% that you don't want to tell other people because it's embarrassing and you think you should be better than that.
And like the moment you get influence, you're like, who can I tell this stuff to that I'm wrestling with? And like, that's the lie of like either pastors or people with influence is like, they won't get it. They mm-hmm. won't get what I'm going through. And like, that's such a lie. Mm-hmm. And what's so cool is like, you just choose your group of five. We're in a life group in Waco. And it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, we don't get something they're going through. And it's like, you just have to be able to confess. And I think if you're a pastor, a preacher, influencer, whatever you do, you can get put on this pedestal that you're like, well, I can't trust anybody. And that's the lie of the enemy.
And even if you're not, like, I would say truly, like, even another couple in our life group, like, admitted to us, like, yeah, the enemy comes at us with, like, no one would ever understand our story. No one would ever understand, you know, our day-to-day battles and struggles. And I just think that's a lie that the enemy breathes into our mind yeah. every day is like, oh, if you confess this, you're going to be met with judgment, misunderstanding. And man, it's just like such a lie of the enemy to try and keep us in secrecy and isolation.
Just like when you confessed to her, it was met with like so much more respect for you yes. and so much more strength yes. because every single person has that thing they're struggling with. And when you open up the door for that, it's like, man, thank you that I can breathe. And now I can feel like you're a human and I'm a human and we can be honest mm-hmm. because people do. I mean, I think people would look at me and be like, she doesn't care. Like, you know, she doesn't care someone coming here. She just spoke there. She's doing fine. But then it's like in your weakness, you do, yeah. you know, it's just real.
Yeah.
You've been a great partner to me in all of this.
I appreciate it. You've been a great partner to me.
I was gonna say, I've been the same for you.
You have been.
You've been a great partner
yeah,
to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, you too, yeah. man.
Come Christian, on, guys.
Christian, you've been a great partner to me. You've been a great partner to me too.
Yeah. Hey, you need Listen. Your sisters, you need your brothers, you need your hubby, all the things.
Truly.
Well, it's true. And even like, you know, what you just talked about, like you all need, like there has to be accountability for everything in life. Yeah. You know, like there are going to be people that you confess your things with and there's going to be people that, you know, you just need to help keep you accountable.
Yeah.
Like whether it's, you know, a life group or whether it's one friend or five friends or a spouse or a brother or whatever, like you have to have somebody that can keep you accountable in a way that you don't feel shame for. Cause I think mm-hmm. oftentimes like it's easy to, I think sometimes we can be reluctant to confess things or to want to share things because it can be met with like, you know, you feel shamed or you feel stupid or you feel weak. But, you know, was it, we were talking about it this morning. Me and you were talking about it. Like sometimes it can be harder to confess things to people,
to a person
than to God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're more worried
what they're going to think.
How
yeah.
off is that?
Yeah.
It's like we were talking, like I was more afraid to tell my accountability partner about my sin than like come to God about it.
Yeah. Same.
And it's like, I sinned against you.
Yeah.
Like David said, I've sinned against you and you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the danger of account, like not the danger of accountability, but that's where it can get
yeah.
unhealthy.
Yeah.
Is when you feel yeah. fear from that person.
Yeah.
If you mess up, mm-hmm. it's like, no, you, first off, you're sinning against God.
Yeah. I think that the beauty in it is that we see God for who he is, that he is so loving and yeah. we're what he's done for us and we are forgiven. So we can come to him because we know like, God, I have fallen short before you. And here's my repentance. Here's my confession. And you know, because you know the character of him, that he's going to love you. The scary thing with confessing to a person is they might not. They might judge you. It might. They might leave. And there's like this book I read. It was Brené Brown. And it's like a photographic memory of this page because I remember thinking this is so important. And she said, vulnerability is so important. It's so powerful. But being vulnerable with someone that doesn't meet you back with empathy is the doorway to shame. Like if you are vulnerable to someone and they are not empathetic back to you, you immediately feel shame and go, shouldn't share that. Then you feel worse about what you shared. And for instance, like sharing this with y'all is a very vulnerable thing. When I shared it with Maddie, one of the reasons I shared it with her is because I know Maddie goes through similar things because she preaches places and she has social media. And I was like, you might be able to relate to this. I want to confess this to you just because I don't really have anyone else that necessarily goes through this. So there are people that sometimes, you know, you are going through the same thing. We might can relate, yeah. but there's other times that you do need to share it just with a group of people, but you do need to be wise who you share things totally. With. That is a huge sure. part of it. Cause if someone's not going to meet you back with that, empathy is harder. If Maddie was like, why would you think like that? Are you kidding me? Then I would be like, oh, well, that was dumb of
down,
me. You
know?
Yeah. But she was like, yeah. I get it. Totally. It's hard. Yeah, that's a real struggle. There. I've been there. And so meeting people with that is so, so, so important. So confession is something that we're called to. It's yeah. something good. Yeah. But it's also something to be wise about
yeah.
with who.
Yeah.
Confess to God. Confess to the right people. Bring community in. Man, I didn't know where we were going to go with this podcast. But it turned deep.
Confession and anxiety.
And I will say, because one thing that I will say is I have seen, though, that this younger generation really fears getting pushback, and I even include myself in this, but really fears getting pushback and being told something that they don't want to hear. And so I think at the same time, expecting empathy and having people meet you with grace while also
truth. Yes.
Because the Bible says like the truth is loving, and that is true love. It's not just with words, but in action and in truth. And so yeah, I think being willing to like confess, knowing that maybe that's met with like, hey, you're better than that. And like, here's what God's word says. And I'm not condemning you. I'm not judging you. I hear you. And you're not alone in that sin. But I also know like you're not a victim to it either. And you have the same spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead in you. And so like, let's fight this together. Like, I'm going to hold you accountable. And so I think also being aware that when you have an accountability partner, if they're a real and a wise and a godly spirit-filled friend, like they should be telling you some things that might be harder to hear sometimes, but hopefully it's to make you better. Like you said earlier, like iron sharpening iron. Like I pray that we are friends that sharpen each other, which means sometimes Sadie may tell me something that I'm like, darn, that wasn't like the easiest thing to hear, but in the long run, it's going to make me a better person and it's going to yep. make me a better follower of Christ.
Yep.
And so it's both. And it's like when she confessed that to me in that moment, like if this had been a pattern in her life, then I'd be like, okay, Sadie, like this is the 8th time you've confessed this to me. Let's set up some boundaries. Like, let's really do something about this. But like, this was the first moment that like I had heard this from her, and it was coming from a very real, honest, vulnerable place. And I was like, hey, I so get that. Like, I struggled with that 3 days ago. You know, it's like, and then we're just able to like relate to each other and show grace to each other. But I do think that there are calls for moments to really challenge and speak the truth yeah. as well.
That's what's, so true.
No, that's so good. Cause it's like you said, there are so many like factors to it, right? Cause you have, you know, it can be met with shame, but then it can also be met with like, let's almost like sulk in it kind of thing. Like, so like my freshman year of college, we tell the story often. Like we had a Bible study group, and it was like every week we would meet, we would always just talk about our struggles with pornography. And it was always just like, almost like a wallow in it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I messed up again. But it was never like, there was never like an action plan behind it. There was never like, it was always like, me too, me too, me too. It's like, well, then let's pray for it. Okay, then next week rolls around. It's the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And then finally, it was like months in, one of us was just like, as a group, we're just like, are we ever going to actually like beat this? Like,
wow.
We're just like, we confess it every week, which is, it's there's power in confessing it. But there's also, you know, there's more power in like taking action to fight against it.
So
like
good,
yeah. Delete the app, you know, set up a safeguard, like do something to where, you know, it completely just prohibits you from, you know, going down that road. And I think that was the thing we struggled with. It was like, we're supposed to be confessing things, but that was all it was. It was just a confession. There was no fruit from it. There was no change from it. And I think sometimes that can be the temptation too, is like, I'll get this off my chest just to get it off my chest, 'cause that's what I'm supposed to do. Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that happens from it. You know?
So true.
Jesus in Matthew, he's like, cut your right arm off, gouge your right eye out. And like, we're not doing that. And I remember being so in bondage. And I had one friend that finally checked me. And he goes, man, I thought you actually, like, I thought we were pursuing the Lord. And I was like, man, I am. And he has had a talk with me. And out of that talk, I threw my Xbox out. He moved in, took everything off my phone except calling and texting. And he's like, are you ready to fight?
Wow.
And there's levels to I'm struggling, or like, I'm giving into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like, if you want to actually fight, like, what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
And so many people working at a local church, hey man, it's the same. It's literally the same thing. It's like, I'm struggling and I don't know if I can. And JP at Harris Creek has taught me so much. It's like, oh wait, are you actually struggling, or is there just everything on your phone right there? And like, pursuing holiness is sacrificial. Mm-hmm. What are you willing to give up to be holy? Yeah, and it's much better to go into heaven without a right hand than to be thrown into hell, like Jesus said, with all. And so I don't know. It's just like, that's such a word
that we've got to pursue holiness. How much are you really struggling that you're willing to actually do what it takes to get rid of it and to get free? It's so funny because I was telling her that, and that's such a good point, that if it was the eighth time I said it, and the reason why I did tell her, and I told like two other friends yesterday that I was struggling with that, is because I'm like, I don't typically struggle with this, but I feel this coming up in me, and I just want to get this out before it actually takes root. Because mm-hmm. in James, it talks about how like when sin, it's like conceived and then it gives birth to death. And I know the process of pregnancy, it is a process, but you're going to give birth, you know, it's a process. Totally. And so I'm like, nope. I'm not giving birth to death. Like, this is not living in me. I'm not going to host this. I'm not going to breathe life to this. Like, we're getting rid of it. And so you got to get quick on those things. Like, don't just let it live in you. Don't breathe life into it. Especially don't speak to it. This is out. This is not going to breed in my life. And so I'm like, I'm caring too much about man's opinion. Yeah. I am feeling irrelevant. I am caring what people say about me, what people think. And I'm not living for the approval of man. I'm living for the approval of God. So you have to get serious, but it's really funny because I'll show you all this. I told Christian the day before this, and I said, I'm going to delete social media because I just don't need to have people's opinions. And so then I was like, I know. So I'm like, I'm just going to delete it. And then I didn't do it. And then the next day, no joke, y'all, my Instagram just broke. It's now been 48 hours.
God, it's so good.
And it really just does not work at all. I have to show y'all. So it's like glitching totally. It's saying that I'm on Honey and Haven's page now, but up until this point, it wouldn't even show this. It showed nothing, and it says page cannot load. And it was so funny because Christian, it's still doing this. And Christian was like, don't fix it. Just don't fix it. Like, that's the Lord doing it for you.
Right, that's the kindness of the Lord.
So sometimes you really do have to take initiative, but then sometimes the Lord's like, I'll do it for you. Broken. It's done. Yeah. It's out, you know? And so anyways, man, this turned into such a great conversation. And maybe you don't have friends in your life like this yet, but hopefully we can be friends from afar to encourage you in this. And hopefully you can be that friend to other people and start this in your own community. Like I said, it really wasn't until this year and this past year of my life that I started confessing things to people. Confessing to God because that was easier for me, but not to people because that's so much scarier because they can walk away. And then I have found like the true power in that, because now I don't fight these battles in my mind all the time. I'm not fighting these battles internally. I'm fighting them with friends who love me and care about me, who are going to speak truth to me, who are going to hold me accountable, who are going to pray with me in it. And we've all done the same thing for each other and the friends that are in our life. We're so grateful for that. So this turned out to be an incredible podcast. Yes, thank you to Julie. I told Maddie this in the car. It is like such a gift to watch what God's doing in y'all's life from afar. So encouraging to see other people truly 100% living for the gospel. As I said, y'all aren't just influencers. Y'all are followers of Jesus, and that's influencing the world. And we're grateful. We couldn't cheer y'all on more for all the things that God's doing. And I love that y'all are plugged into y'all's local ministry and learning so much and growing. And I can't wait to see all that God does in your life and to be y'all's friend through it all.
We love y'all. Thanks so much. Thanks for having us. Yeah. I really feel like we really should, if we have time, just like say a quick prayer over people listening that maybe are enslaved to the opinions of people or struggling with anxiety or totally. Even bound in sexual sin. So I don't know. I feel like that could be really, really.
I'd love to do that. And guys, it's been an amazing weekend.
This has been so good.
This has been so awesome.
What's today? Friday?
Just Friday.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's been so
Thursday
fun.
To Friday, that's it. Wow.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, though. Yeah. I feel like we've even prayed over friendships and just like encouraging friendships of like people. And so it's just crazy that you reached out and we're here. And even you and I, 2-hour workout this morning, by the way. Christian, don't
romance.
Play. And it's just like, hours. It was 2 hours. He's like, it's hour 20.
It was hour 20.
Yes. 7:30 to 9:15.
I tell him that all the time. I'm like your workouts are longer
minutes.
Than you think.
Long.
No.
But Christian, I think even like something, like I feel like we developed a really cool friendship this weekend.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
I'm thankful for you
yeah.
in your life.
Thank you.
And you're a special man.
You are too.
Aww. We already cried together earlier.
I know, we did too.
Our moment was more private.
It was. Do y'all want to pray? Who would spray?
Absolutely.
Grant, you got it?
Yeah. Father, we pray for every single soul right now in this room. And Lord, everybody watching, wherever they're at, Lord, we pray right now that your spirit of peace would rest on them. And God, I pray that if there's anybody listening right now that is struggling with something that no one knows about, would you show them that there is freedom on the other side of confession? But Father, would you give them the wisdom on who to confess to? Would you give them a person or people that will meet them with truth and love, God? With so much love and so much grace. And Lord, I do pray freedom for a generation from anxiety and suicide and cutting. And Lord, everything that the enemy is coming at, Lord, we just declare victory in the name of Jesus. And so, Lord, I do pray for the people that are anxious right now and that feel like there's no way out. I pray that you would show them that your power is made perfect in their weakness. And Father, that the enemy, his number one goal is to have them hold it in the dark. And so I pray that you give them the boldness to speak it out. Lord, I pray that we would go first. I pray that Maddie, Christian, Sadie, and I would lead in that, Father, to boast in our weakness and say we are fragile, but Jesus is our strength. And so, Lord, would you be everybody's strength listening right now? We praise your name. You are where true life is found. Nothing else. We praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Having church.
Amen.